This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So today, I want to introduce Exodus to you. We're going to teach through Exodus over the next few weeks. And I want to give you just a very quick introduction. It's not going to be particularly deep or long. It's a funny word, Exodus. Do you remember about 5 or 6 years ago, in the news every night, there were those thousands of people trekking across from Syria through Turkey up into Europe? Do you remember that? That's an exodus. People leaving one place, going somewhere else. That's a really good picture of an exodus. There's another sort of exodus would be the UK leaving the European Union. That was an exodus, is an exodus. Another less... The positive thing was Leeds United leaving the Championship to come up to the Premiership a couple of years ago. That was a wonderful exodus. It looks like we might be making a return trip. Exodus, we're going to look at that. I'm going to just tell you a little bit about the book of Exodus and how that word leaving translates into what it means. Have you ever read Exodus all the way through? I didn't do that for a long time. We're going to do that as part of Lent, and I'll explain more about that a bit later. Let me give you a big picture of this. Broadly speaking, there's differences of opinion about the actual journey that the Exodus story tells. But broadly speaking, it happened in this Middle Eastern part on the southeast side of the Mediterranean. And it was about 1,200 BC before Jesus, so about 3,300 years ago. That's a long time ago. The transition from the Bronze Age into the Iron Age. But don't think, you know, primitive cave dwellers. Think pyramids, culture, sophistication, high levels of art and creativity. And the Exodus is an Exodus story, an epic story of an emerging and growing nation getting established. The Old Testament has a lot of it. It starts at the beginning of Genesis and it goes through to Kings, if you know your Bible. And the Genesis bit starts sort of off the top right of the map, up near where Baghdad is now, Mesopotamia area. And then it comes down, the story comes down all the way down and ends up in Egypt at the end of Genesis. And that's where we pick it up. And the Exodus story takes us back up, and eventually, when we get to the Kings narrative, we're at the beginning. And it shows hundreds and hundreds of years of narrative that are recorded in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And we're looking at Exodus, the second book of Moses, as it's sometimes known. And it's talking about this move from Egypt, bottom left of the map, south west, up to the land of milk and honey through Sinai. Do you remember the stories about Joseph? Technicolor dream coat, dreams about cows, famines ending up in Egypt. That's where Genesis finishes. And we pick up the story, and Roger's going to read to us in a moment. Where is he? Is he around? Ah, yes. Please come up and grab the mic. And we pick it up at the beginning of Exodus where they are in slavery now. And the Exodus story tells us what happens to them. The commentator Dumbrell describes it like this. He says, it's a transition from slavery to worship. And you'll see that in the readings that Roger's about to read. And it's accomplished through a very great redemption, which is at the center of this book. So I've asked Roger to read a few verses from the beginning of this story and then a few verses from the end of this story.
So the first part is from Exodus 1, verses 1 to 14. And if you're looking in the Bibles in the pew, that's on page 44, so near the beginning. So these are the names of the sons of Israel who went to Egypt with Jacob, each with his family: Reuben, Simeon, Levi and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. The descendants of Jacob numbered 70 in all. Joseph was already in Egypt. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died, but the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. "Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And, if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country." So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. And they built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor, in brick and mortar, with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. We move on to the end of chapter 40. Chapter 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the Israelites during all their travels.
This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Roger, for reading. So it starts with a people enslaved, and it finishes with a people worshipping. This word Exodus, like I was illustrating at the beginning, means what you think it means. The meaning is rooted in the Hebrew word, which is to go out, to leave, the Exodus. But the book is dominated by a particular theme. There's lots of themes in it, actually, but there's one overarching theme. We sang about it, interestingly, earlier on. One of Alex's songs was "Show Me Your Glory." And this overarching theme in Exodus is the one of knowing God. We're introduced to a God who reveals himself more and more to the people of Israel, mainly through Moses. Through actions and words, God makes himself known. He moves from being this distant deity to a close neighbor. And my prayer is that as you become familiar with Exodus and this story, as we go through this together, that the Lord will reveal himself to you too, more and more, in actions and words, leading you out of enslavement into worship, into a radical life, following the one who is both the sovereign and our Savior. There's going to be lots of kingdom, power, and glory in the Exodus story. And as you know, that's our theme for this year. So Exodus starts with this enslaved, powerless, stateless people and ends with them on the move to the promised land, worshipping and enjoying the magnificent presence and imminence. That's the closeness of God. And I want us to go on a similar expedition as we just observe Lent and read Exodus together, dealing with our broken lives, with the areas of our life that need repentance, the areas that we are enslaved in and held down, and moving through this messed up world and learning to worship our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, stepping into the kingdom of God and enjoying the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Does that sound like a good trajectory? Let me say that again. So I want us to move from a place of enslavement and brokenness where we're going through repentance and healing, and through that radical moment of the Passover, ending up in a place where we worship God and we know his presence and power in our lives. Okay. The website will have, if you follow through the usual pathways to the resources section, there'll be a page on the website full of the talks as we do them over the next few weeks, and some other resources, some books to read, some podcasts to watch and listen to. In particular, I'd like to recommend this. You can get it for probably less than a tenner. There's a link to the Vineyard Bookshop on the website. It's called Exodus and Leviticus for Everyone. It's a series that goes all the way through the scriptures. You don't have to do the Leviticus bit. You can just do the Exodus bit. So it's about half, okay? And this is written by a guy called John Goldingay, who's a Brit, actually, but he's based in California now. And he's a world-renowned expert on Old Testament, particularly. And he gives us a portion of Exodus each day, and then a commentary on it, which is really helpful, and an application of it, which is really helpful. So if you don't have this already, I commend this to you. It's probably takes about 10-15 minutes to read through and think about each day, but it'll take you, you don't read every word of Exodus, but you take a sweep through it. So I'd recommend that as a devotional addition this day for this study. He says in the introduction, for Jesus and the New Testament writers, the books of the Old Testament were a living resource for understanding God, God's ways in the world, and God's ways with us. They're a living resource for understanding God, God's ways in the world, and God's ways with us. They were like that for Jesus and the New Testament writers. They can be that for us too. We're going to pick on, over the next 8 Sundays, we're going to pick on 8 major themes from Exodus. So Liz is kicking off next week, and she's going to be talking about obeying God's call on our life. And that picture of Moses getting this extraordinary call from God to go and confront Pharaoh. And then we're looking at power encounters, spiritual warfare, you know, all the plagues. What's going on there behind the scenes, and how does that relate to us? We then dive into that redemptive moment in the middle of the Passover and the Passover promises, how significant the blood of the Lamb was for that symbolism there, and it is for us in our lives today. Then the kingdom commandments, you know, Mount Sinai, the inscribed commandments on the tablets, and how they reveal a kingdom of justice and mercy. That's God's way of living. And how does that work out for us? Justice and mercy. And then we're going to skip towards the end of Exodus and look at the worship response of the people to God's glory, and how they established a tabernacle for him, or the tabernacle, and how the people respond in worship. And we're going to weave into that our Steps campaign, which I've talked about before, where we give an opportunity for you to give to the Vineyard House project, because that was what was going on at the end of Exodus. That's how they were working. We then get to Easter Sunday, when we'll be talking about the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and seeing how that is prefigured for us in the crossing of the Red Sea and the coming to life of the people of Israel. And then we'll finally finish off with that passage that Roger just read, God's provision and his glory, his presence and his power. Okay, so that's the next 8 weeks for you. And by that stage, I'm hopeful that you'll have an idea and be allowing Exodus to speak into your life today. It may seem distant and exotic, but actually I think, even if you're not very familiar with the Bible, if you've never read it, I think you'll probably recognize some of the things in it. Things like the water from the rock, or the parting of the Red Sea, or the burning bush, you'll have heard of that. Moses' basket, that comes from this story. Or the Ten Commandments, we've all heard of the Ten Commandments. Or the plagues, what are your favorite plagues? Mine are the frogs and the locusts. Those are the ones that I'd least likely to... Anyway, the golden calf, you've heard of the golden calf, and manna every day. Those are all the sort of, they're familiar stories actually in our in our background. This is where they come from. So that's Exodus, and we're going to read that through the course of the next 40 days. And we're going to do that as part of observing Lent. Now, in the Vineyard, we're not very good at this sort of thing. We don't tend to observe those sort of traditions. But, I mean, to my knowledge, I don't think we've ever done Lent. We do other forms of prayer and fasting around the time of the year. But today, this year, we felt that it was right to go with Lent. And so we're going to observe that. You don't have to do this. Some of you do this anyway. But we're going to invite you to do this all together. 40 days, starting on Wednesday, the 22nd. And it's part of remembering Jesus 40 days in the desert when he was fasting and preparing for his ministry. For us, it's sort of emerging out of Christmas and leading up to Easter and through the darkness of winter. And it's a sort of as we come towards Easter, we're thinking about the crucifixion and then the resurrection. And it's a sort of, in the Orthodox Church, they call this the bright sadness. The bright sadness. I think that's beautiful. It holds together that repentance and sorrow over the brokenness in the world, alongside the joy and the expectation of the resurrection and the coming of the kingdom and salvation. Joyful sorrow is another translation of the way they the Orthodox title it. And I'm going to encourage you to take part in a number of things, spiritual disciplines, to do this together, to make this a really meaningful exercise together. We, as I said last week, we're a kingdom family. This is when you decide to follow Jesus and you begin to belong to the church, to the God's family, then there's something very strong in the relationship, in binding us together. And one of the things is the way we worship together and the way we go through a process of spiritual awakening like this. It won't necessarily be easy. It's not meant to be, honestly. There will be sacrifices and things that you'll find difficult. And that's one of the joys of doing it together, because you'll find the person next to you at Growth Group is also finding it difficult. And there'll be passages you don't understand, and there'll be sacrifices you're committed to making which you don't want to make. But I think the Lord will work through us and grow us through this process. So there's going to be several parts. First of all, we're going to invite you to read a chapter of Exodus every day. There are 40 chapters in Exodus and 40 days in Lent. Ta-da! Doesn't that work nicely? Might have been planned. And so each day, have a read of the chapter. It takes about roughly 5 minutes, depending on how quickly or slowly you read or listen. And then on Sundays, we'll be teaching those 8 themes that I've discussed, that I've already explained to you. And then in growth groups, you'll be given opportunities to discuss what we talked about on the Sunday and see how it works out in a group setting, where you can share with each other what you're struggling with, what's going well. And I'd love to do, and I've asked the growth group leaders to get on the front foot on this, is to take turns at feeding back on a Sunday what the experience has been like in the previous week. So each growth group will get a go over the course of the next 8 weeks to do that. And then there's 4 other spiritual disciplines you're invited to join in with. Silence, prayer, giving, and simplifying. Let me explain a bit more about that. So we're on the website, there will be a page for this. There you go. So if you go to leedsvineyard.org/Lent, and there'll be this brochure, this journal, on the website. So you can download it to your device or your computer and follow it through that, or you can print it off and it comes out like this as a little brochure. If you haven't got a printer, ask the welcome team. There's a few at the back there which we've made available. You're welcome to have one of those. Or if they run out, just let us know and we'll print one off for you. But it's basically for you to use at home or on your device as you like. And then what I'd like you to do, so in the front left-hand side, next picture, There you go. It's some repeating what I've just been saying this morning. And on the right-hand side is a box for every day of the 40 days, starting on Wednesday, the 22nd of February. So you start with the date, the chapter of Exodus. You can read that day, or you can save it up and read them all at the end of the week, or however you want to do it. A box for prayer, and then a box for give. So, those four things that I'm inviting you to do. One is silence. I would love you to try and find a way, children permitting, jobs permitting, well, not find a way of finding 5 minutes when you can be quiet. Now, you don't have to be intense. You don't have to figure out how to pray all that time. Your mind will wander, all sorts of things. But just make that moment of 5 minutes of silence your space with God. Sometimes it's helpful to look at a candle or something, or a picture or something. I think that if you can do that for 40 days, it'll become a habit. And it'll be a beautiful habit in your life. God can do all sorts of things when we stop and go silent. And he can speak in different ways. So the second thing I'd like you to do is to, or inviting you to do, I'm not telling you what to do, I don't do that. I'm inviting you to do this together. For some of you, that won't be possible, so that's fine. I'd like you to pray. And each day, there's a box for you to pray for somebody or something. Something specific that the Lord puts on your heart. It may be a different thing every day. Or it may be the same thing for a whole 40 days. Doesn't matter. Whatever you feel compelled to pray for. And what I'd like you to do is write it into the box, what you're praying for each day. Because I think that will tell a story. You'll build up a prayer history over 40 days. And you can look back and think, oh, I started pretty like this and I ended up like this. And then I'd like you to think about giving, give away every day. That could be money. I'm not really thinking about money particularly. We're going to be talking about giving money as part of the steps thing later on. But it could be money, but it could be just a gift. Or it could be a moment, some of your time. For some of you, time is the thing that you haven't got much of. That's the sacrifice to make, rather than money maybe. It could be just a smile when you do not feel like smiling. It could be some food for the pantry. Just some little thing, an act of kindness every day. Every day. And jot it down. I think you probably do that every day, but jot it down on your journal. And again, build up a story, a history of how God's working with you through this. And then finally, I'd like to invite you to simplify your life for 40 days. And there's some ideas in the journal about things you might like to do to simplify your life. These are just suggestions, and don't do them all. Don't try this at home. How about something like, don't buy anything new for 40 days? Or wear plain clothes for 40 days. For some of you, that would be a real challenge. How about walk or cycle everywhere that's less than a mile away? How about drinking just water? I know for some of you, that's easy. That's not your call to simplify. But for others of us, just to drink water for 40 days. Don't eat out or order in for 40 days. Cut out meat. Not a problem for those of you who are vegans. Doesn't count. But if you're a carnivore, maybe that's something you need to cut out meat for 40 days. Or cut out chocolate. Cut out TV. TV for 40 days. No cricket. No football. Social media. Can we live without social media for 40 days? How much of a sacrifice would that be? Turn your phone off between 10 p.m. and 8 a.m. Those are just ideas. You can think of, as you pray and ask the Lord to show you, what is it that he's calling you to do to simplify your life in a sort of way of remembering, reflecting, repenting of our lives, trying to get back to some simplicity and to hear his voice more clearly. This is not mandatory, it's an invitation. Join in as much or as little as you feel compelled to. Be obedient to what Holy Spirit says to you. And as you create that story, that history over the 40 days, in your growth groups, we're going to try and create space for you to share what's going on. Does that make sense? I know this hasn't been a profound bit of exegesis, but it's launching something which I think will be significant for many of us. Any questions? Anybody online have any questions? I explained it beautifully, comprehensively. Excellent. Thank you, Beryl. So, let me remind you, Exodus starts with an enslaved, powerless, stateless people and ends with them on the move to the promised land, worshipping and enjoying the magnificent presence and imminence of God Almighty. And may we go on a similar expedition as we observe Lent and read Exodus together, dealing with our broken lives and this messed up world and learning to worship our glorious risen Jesus Christ, stepping into the kingdom of God and enjoying his presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, I want to change gear. That's what we're doing. We'll talk about it every week for the next 8 weeks, so you'll get used to it. If your growth group leader isn't here, can you bang on their door and tell them, warn them that this is coming? I mean, I have written to them, but some of them don't read everything I send to them, so just in case. We're going to change gear. So you've been sitting there, not listening, very well behaved, not really... I haven't required you to do anything. Uh-oh, you're thinking. But we believe that... Steve, Naomi, Alison, do you want to come and join me? We believe that the Holy Spirit's here at work. And as I often tell you, you know, Alison and I are the pastors. Who are the ministers? Yeah, you are. So it's for you to engage with what the Lord's doing here amongst us, both for you to receive from him and for you to give. I know what it's like. I've sat in the pew many a time, and I gradually disengage. Not I'm listening to the speaker, but I'm disengaging from thinking I need to do anything. As though it doesn't really involve me. I'm just listening, and then I walk out. And I just want to tell you that it isn't. This is your opportunity to step forward and say, now, what do you want me to do? Do you want to speak through me? Do you want me to be prayed for? Do you want me to... Not just to treat this as a passive thing. Yeah? Now, I'm not forcing you to do anything. I'm just wanting you to think, all right, okay, lean forward in your seats. What's next? What can I be involved in? What might God say to me or through me? Can we do this? Because I think what we'll do is we'll end up praying for one another and we'll see amazing things happen. Are you able to... say how you prayed about the house anonymously. Just last week, Alison prayed for somebody who's trying to find a house. Very simple thing. Well, not simple thing if you're the person trying to find a house. Come up here. And was delighted to hear
one has been found.
House has been found. Okay, just a simple thing. Somebody worried about finding their house, somewhere to live. Somebody from the church prayed for them. They may have found it anyway, but if we don't pray, if we pray and something happens, great. And if we don't pray and nothing happens, you don't get anywhere by not praying at all. So it's an opportunity just to say, thank you, Lord. That's great. I was involved in that. Alison was involved in that prayer journey. Heather, we heard from Heather last week, a couple of weeks ago. She came, Ganita had a word about that stress on her shoulders and her stomach pains, and she got prayed for and was better. Isn't that great? Okay, it's not. It's just the Lord wants to bless us and get involved with our lives. So I'm going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us and through us, as he promises to do, as it tells us in Scripture to expect. And then we're going to see what happens. Why don't you pray with me? Holy Spirit, I ask you to come. I thank you for that message from Exodus, that you are the God who makes himself known, and that you want to come close. And you sent your Holy Spirit to be amongst us. So we invite you here. We know you're here already, but we just want you to come more, Lord. As we're waiting on the Spirit, if you were prayed for last week, we had, loads of, it was full up here, students and young adults praying for them. If you were one of those and you felt the Lord speak to you in some way or something happened in your life that you were prayed for, I'd love to hear about that. Or if in one of your growth groups you were prayed for and the Lord did something, I'd love to hear about that. And just if that's you, if you've got something to share like that, just come up here and I'll get the story off you. But in the meantime, do we have anything?
Not so much. I just felt that when David was saying about reading every day for 40 days or doing these things, there may have been some of you that have kind of almost said, I can't do that. And for a lot of the lists, you just sort of discounted yourself from being able to do it. And I just feel God wants you to try and just give what you can give, and that in that will come transformation. I remember a few years ago now, we did Bible in a Year as a church, as a whole, and I'll be brief, but David always talked about, he'd say the Bible and like, I love this book, this is my favourite book, I love it. And I sat there thinking, you love it? Like, really? I'd not understood that at all until we did that together as a church. And I admit, I didn't actually get through the whole thing, but I have read it. I actually do genuinely could say, oh, I love Exodus. And I actually really quite like Leviticus. Like, how weird. And
that's,
I never thought I would have said that. So that's my bit of testimony. But for you that were sitting there thinking, oh, no, can't do that, I haven't got time, or I'm not able to, give that to God.
So while we were waiting, does anybody sense the Lord give them we call it a word of knowledge. It's just code for something pops into your mind and you think, where did that come from? And it might be a physical condition, like an illness, or it might be a situation or a name or something that wasn't there when you walked in but is there now, or popped into your mind when we are maybe during worship or when I asked the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us. Is anybody who's got anything like that to share? And I'll explain what that means. Hannah? Just shout it out, yeah. In fact, could you have the microphone? Yes. My assistant, Steve. We'll stay online for a little bit longer, and then...
I saw a picture of a ball pool, which was full of colourful balls. They were like National Lottery balls or something to do with gambling, and I saw someone like feeling overwhelmed by all these balls, and I don't know whether there's someone struggling with some kind of gambling, or maybe they're just feeling financially overwhelmed and maybe tempted to... extreme measures.
Yeah. You heard that? Okay, great, thank you. Anybody else? Steve's good at this, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's very good at this.
I think Naomi almost said exactly what I thought, that this resonates with our doing together, quite a few of us. I think most of the church did it, the Bible in the Year thing, and it just feels like we're coming together in this, and I think there's something about Lent that is it's usually quite personal, isn't it? And people who do something for Lent, it's about their devotional individual time, and I just think there's something about the relationships between us, not just in our small groups, but as a church as a whole, that's part of this. Let's talk about it as we go.
Thank you. Anybody else? And the word he got was exciting. Excellent. Anything else specific?
As you were talking about, if anyone had anything that they felt, and I kind of had a little pain in my chest and then just a real tightening, mm-hmm. like breathlessness, which okay. I don't think's mine.
Okay.
But
tightening
and
in
it's
the
easing
chest
now, yeah, a bit of a pain, but a tightening, and it's like almost the stress of, you know, that tightening and not being able to breathe.
And are you associating that with a man or a woman?
I don't know, sorry.
Okay. Did you hear that? Okay. Anybody else? Yeah. Oh, I missed that one.
Not a word. Well, it's just with the whole with this Exodus 40 days thing. I just feel like the key, the goal, the destination is encounter. So think encounter. Don't think tick list or I've done it. Few, I can go to church and say I've done it. But it's about encounter, and I think Jesus just wants to meet us. So that daily thing is a place of encounter, not a tick list of stuff we have to do.
Okay, why don't we stand?
Bear with me on this. I'm not. I got the phrase sausage machine, right? You won't find that in Proverbs, I'm pretty sure. And so I've kind of, as I was doing my little bit running up and down the aisles, trying to think about it, really? Is that for sharing and just trying to test it a little bit? And what's that about? I didn't have sausages for breakfast. And, trying to eliminate where else that might have come from. But I think it's about, we use that phrase, or you might have heard that phrase used for something that's formulaic. You know, you're feeding how are sausages? They feed the stuff. Best not to think about what stuff. They feed the stuff in at one end and sausages come out at the other. And it's a process that is, very formulaic, doesn't really require much once that system is put in place. And I think for some of us, maybe it's for me, but for some of us, sometimes our faith can become a bit like the sausage machine, where you just feed in stuff at one end, like turning up on a Sunday morning, going along to a small group. But we're just feeding the formula. We're just putting the stuff in at one end, and out comes this kind of faith that... Yeah, I feel challenged that it's about more than that, and that this opportunity to go through Lent is a chance to turn that machine off and think and focus more deeply on where our faith comes from. And I'm really confident that as we enter into this, every one of us will have some new revelation of God as we go through this. And that's got to be an exciting thing, right? That's got to be better than sausage. Yeah?
Thank you, Steve. Thank you.
So I won't say sausage again, sorry.
We'll say goodbye to the guys who are online. Thank you for being with us today. Have a good week. I hope that you can join us soon.